Hello and welcome to this special podcast for Ermic Fest, which is taking place on the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of September. My name is Ali Hanna and I'm the Chief Distribution Officer for UK and Lloyd's at AXA XL. And I'm delighted to introduce today's podcast for you. In this podcast, the Editor-in-Chief of Commercial Risk, Adrian Ladbury, interviews John Ludlow, CEO of Ermic. It was recorded on August 28th. At this year's Ermic Fest, AXA XL are focused on the power of co-creation. Collaboration is a major part of how we gain a greater understanding of your risks and co-create solutions that move your world forward. Visit our virtual exhibition stand at Ermic Fest to see how we can help your business go beyond the unexpected. I hope you enjoy the podcast and are also able to access Ermic Fest.
Well, good afternoon, John. Thank you very much for joining us. In this sort of pre-Ermic Fest discussion that we're having, there's a lot of big issues going on at the moment. Obviously, the market has reacted pretty well, I think, to the crisis, but it's thrown up a lot of questions, not least in the areas of business interruption, business continuity, crisis management, and now we're starting to take stock, learn lessons, and look forward. So good timing for your fest, which looks fantastic. And also for this conversation. So before we talk about the fest towards the end, I just want to throw some pretty major questions at you, which I'm also doing with your colleagues around Europe. So, John, what are the main lessons that have been learned from the crisis for risk and insurance managers? And do you think the role of the risk manager has gained from the higher profile and central role in the management of this crisis? What's your feeling?
Yes, I do. I mean, the door's always open for people who can contribute at a strategic level if you've got the right, you know, professional qualifications, knowledge and skills. One of the key things is the ability to provide timely information to the C-suite and to the board. And that information will be in nature slightly different. It's an area where many boards report professionals can help them a lot more, you know, because you have non-exec directors sitting there. Not actually that au fait with some of the more technical areas of the business. So they need your help. And I think also it's important that people really determine what matters most in a situation. And in the situation with COVID, it was clearly people's health. So looking after the workforce. And of course, the other thing is, you know, you can't be the sort of archetypal risk manager, you know, with your process. You've got to be agile and you've got to act and think with agility. Plans are great, but plans don't last 10 minutes of interaction with the enemy. You've got to be able to make it up as you go along, really. I think one of the other things as well is really collaborate with your corporate communications team. You know, provide them information and make sure that everything you're providing is relevant and timely.
But the agility is a really good point. In the past, rather than insurance manager in particular was really quite process driven. This has thrown up a set of new challenges. How do you feel that, I mean, from your feedback from Ermic members?
They're pretty agile in their thinking these days. They're managing both the risk and the insurance programs. They're used to interacting with senior management these days, and it's pretty good. I think part of what we're trying to do really is to develop the next generation and the generation after that to acquire those skills as they go up. So that's reflected in a lot of our programs these days.
So what needs to happen next to ensure that the countries and corporates, companies are better prepared for the next crisis? Because there'll obviously be another one around the corner. What needs to happen next to prepare for this?
Well, I think the individual risk on the risk registers need to be profiled for more. They need to be looked at in terms of their speed and their connectivity. Certainly, those sort of factors need to be added into it. At risks need to have scenarios run and crisis plans developed and preparedness actions actually taken in a timely fashion. You know, planning's not enough. And I think actually that was one of the big downfalls of the government here. States of preparedness need to be monitored and raised and lowered as dynamic risks come and go, you know. So there needs to be a more robust sort of the planning and preparedness side of the equation. And I think the other point I would say is governments and companies really do need to work better together for society, you know. Companies have become increasingly aware of their societal responsibility and their role. And I think governments have got to get out and interact better with businesses as well. Together, actually, they can take on these things. Working alone, they can't.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point. There was a lot of confusion at the beginning. Obviously, it was all quite rapid and people had to operate on the hoof. But I guess there must have been some serious lessons to be learned about communication, dialogue between government and business. AIRMIC has been involved at different levels, I guess, during the process. How can that communication and preparation be improved, do you think?
I think the first thing is actually they need to de-silo government slightly. You know, I'm not entirely sure Home Office and Treasury talk that well together. Yeah. You know, they need to work at that. And I think they need to actually work, you know, build relationships up with some of the major corporations that are based in the UK. I know there's sort of charitable attempts at doing that, but I think they need to do more. The muscle only grows when you practice. It's not something you sort of say, oh, let's go and do that at a time of crisis. You've got to be doing it all the time. So they've got to find projects that business and government can collaborate on. And they've got to find, you know, set some objectives for themselves and get out there and do it.
Is it time to introduce the governmental risk manager?
There should be one, shouldn't there? I mean, the risk register is in one part of government and the money's in another. You know, I think we all know now, don't we, the risk register, the national risk register had quite a thick layer of dust on it. and the crisis plans had been done, but there was no real state of preparedness. They'd not kept their finger on the pulse and not been resourced, probably because they were all wound up with Brexit.
Put Brexit really into the background. I mean, it was obsessive. It was on the news every day. And then suddenly it wasn't. It was something slightly more important.
I think it's going to come back, isn't it? It's going to come back with a vengeance.
Come back with a vengeance. Absolutely. I mean, going off piece a bit, but how do you see Brexit going from here in these circumstances? And what would you advise your members to be mindful of?
Well, they need to dust down their plan where they were and get them back up to speed and engage with the C-suite. And make sure everybody is getting ready, because I think there's a very good chance of a no-deal scenario. But if there is a deal, then they need to get their heads around what that really is going to look like and what it's going to mean. Actually, I would advocate people have a look at what the CBI is doing, because I think actually they're going to do some work on this for their members and help people get back up to speed.
So, John, how do you feel, how well has the insurance sector coped with this whole crisis? And what are the key lessons learned for the sector and for your members, obviously, who are buying insurance? What are the lessons there?
Well, I don't think it's been the finest hour for the industry, has it? And I think the industry really needs to look at itself and repurpose, develop new strategies to model the risks in today's world, these connected risks. And work closer with government and business, you know, to do that, to add value to society and the clients. So society in times of crisis, but the clients who are paying for the insurance. I think it's all been a bit remote and a bit off the shelf. Insurance needs to be relevant, you know, and it's rarely a good situation when insurers are moving to reduce limits on the and exclude relevant items that businesses need. It's not good. We've got a lot of businesses that have got critical dependencies that should be being covered by insurance of one form or another.
Where do you think were the main gaps that were shown by this? Where are the main coverage gaps? Obviously, business interruption has been a real problem area. But
yeah, you could start there, but I think we need to look at cyber again. And, you know, that's, somebody called that the next pandemic, you know, or the second pandemic. It's another highly connected risk. You know, the sort of risks that stand alone, yeah, you can probably get insurance for that, you know, pretty well. It's the connected risks that I think the industry is struggling with, because it can't protect, the industry can't protect their balance sheet. They're also, I don't think, got enough client information to actually know how to price it so that actually good risk management can be rewarded.
Yeah. Supply chain being the obvious example, the next business interruption. Obviously, in the UK, US, Germany, France, there were rapid calls for the creation of some kind of private-public partnership, state-backed scheme to cover future health crises. What involvement has AIRMIC had in this process in the UK? Where are we and what does business actually need from this?
Well, we've been contributing ideas to the leadership in the industry and the government, actually, and we're on some subcommittees of projects that are seeking to look at this and build new solutions. We're exploring the potential and welcome ideas for how we can better engage with government level bodies. You know, AIRMIC's secretariat's actually quite small, but and we do what we can, but we're looking for ideas how we can really step this up over the next year or two. And we are, you know, going to announce as well that we're collaborating with other professional bodies to look at resilience and risk management at the conference. So AIRMIC Fest starts on the 22nd of September. There'll be a press conference and be talking about how we collaborate with other professional bodies there.
Which is absolutely critical, you know, as you said at the beginning about agility, working with other departments across the company. AIRMIC can't do this alone. You've got to work with Treasury, you've got to work with Audit, you've got to work with Legal, Health and Safety. So that's great news that you're forging ahead with that. I look forward to hearing about that, John. We will see some form of scheme, I'm sure, I hope, sooner rather than later to look forward. Should such an insurance-based public-private scheme be only focused on pandemics, or could it be used to prepare for other future catastrophes that may occur? I don't know, solar clouds, that kind of thing. I mean, it can such a flexibility be built, or has it got to be just focused on pandemic?
I mean, pandemic's not a bad one to start with because it's got everybody's attention. We believe, actually, you need to go back to the National Risk Register and work out what do you think the things are that could really cause a problem for the industry and society generally. Get in there and work up new schemes for doing that. To do that, obviously, you need government to get the risk register dusted down, as I've said, and to work collaboratively across the departments, notably Treasury and I think the Home Office and the Cabinet Office. Get everybody together, industry and businesses. I actually, you know, one of the problems I think we've got is that the industry's tried to take a lead, and actually it's government that needs to take a lead.
That's probably some scary, scared risk managers out there thinking, oops, what are these renewals going to look like? Looking at the insurers have actually coped pretty well, really, given the size of the catastrophe, but margins are looking pretty thin. The market was hardening anyway. Investment returns are looking pretty horrible. So they're likely to be quite tough renewals. What do risk managers need to do to make sure they get the best possible terms and conditions? And what can AIRMIC do to help with this?
Yeah, well, renewals are going to be very difficult, aren't they, with the level of price and exclusions, narrowing wordings and limits all coming in. But the thing actually that really does frustrate people, I think, is the lateness and uncertainty of decisions being made by the insurers. So whilst it might be good for them, they actually need to help their clients make sure that they give us as much notice and certainty as possible. Difficult messages. I mean, AIRMIC's feeding this back to the market leaders, and we're helping our members, hopefully through education and discussion groups, to share ideas about, you know, what do you do and how to do it, and all the good practices that AIRMIC members collectively have. AIRMIC's of the view that insurers need to work much closer with their major clients, though, to share relevant data to enable the risks to be better modelled so that the risks can be discerningly priced. And we believe that the industry needs to work with governments around the world to plan and prepare and respond to connected risks, because these are the ones that we're really struggling with. I mean, AIRMIC's also working with Firma to be doing that and sharing good practice. The sector at the end of the day is at a crossroads, and I can't emphasize this enough to them. You know, what do they want? Do the insurers want improved relevance and response, or do they frankly want extinction?
Yeah.
The members are dreaming up different ways of managing risks other than buying insurance.
Yeah, I've had some interesting conversations with insurers, reinsurers, brokers, talking about opportunities and challenges, but I'm not hearing a huge amount of very innovative thinking. I'm hearing some innovative talk, but not a lot of thinking and action. And it struck me for quite a while that if a carrier could gather the capital to do something really quite radically different, they could steal a huge march on the rest of the industry. And I guess a lot of that's going to be down to digitization and structure and cost base and how they structure it. But yeah, it's a long road ahead, I think.
The members will take things into their own hands, or their businesses will, you know. Their businesses will work out there's many ways of mitigating a risk. And insurance is just one tool in the toolkit. You know, they've got their captives. There's alternative risk financing. You can spend more on risk management, which is always welcome. You can look at your contracts, and you look at your business model. You can look at your strategy. You know, there's lots of ways of mitigating risk. Insurance is not the one-stop shop. And I think insurers need to be reminded of that.
So, John, shifting on to the actual association itself, how have you reacted to the lockdown and the crisis, and how have you ensured continuity of service for members in this difficult period?
Well, the global outbreak of COVID-19 is very dynamic. You know, it's fluid and a very grave situation. It's a connected risk with a systematic impact on all organisations, and we're no exception. You know, and for your partners and your suppliers, your customers, from a cumulative and a cascade financial risks, operational and reputational risks, all sorts of uncertainties. It really is a nasty one. The business and societal impacts likely to be far-reaching and long-term from the perspective of health and wellness, disruption to the value chains and the effect on the economy in the UK and globally. So we're using an assumption that it will affect AIRMIC, and that's unavoidable. So our business plan, you know, has got to be looked at over the next 2 years to see what the impact is going to be. We've got a fair idea. But we're also thinking at our strategy day coming up that we need to really repurpose, look at new lines of income for AIRMIC and how we can better our chances. But I think our response to the crisis has been really very good. I think it's been as good as it could be. You know, the first thing we did was invoke the crisis team. Certainly in the early days, it was every day. It's not so much now. And we've logged all the actions, and it's been really good for us. The next thing we did was assess all of our people and make sure everybody was as safe as possible. And then we went working from home. Yeah. And that's really worked incredibly well, actually. Mm-hmm. I then had to look at the value drivers of AIRMIC and really sort of focus on what matters most in value creation, engage with all our stakeholders, so partners, members and the team, to see how they were feeling and what they were thinking. And the decision was made that it was just going to be a virtual AIRMIC, you know, the community virtual. I think the important thing is to continually consider the risks associated with the virus through multiple lenses across AIRMIC, using the principal risk as a driver. So assess the stress and efficacy of our controls, but also to identify and map emerging risks and opportunities that come out as a result of it. I think one of the big things too is about communication. And we put a lot of effort into really trying to communicate effectively to stakeholders on a regular basis as to how we were doing it. Those were the immediate priorities. Then, of course, you have to look at your cash flow, consider the impact on that, consider the impact on our events. And obviously, our conference couldn't go ahead, and that's a big profit driver for AIRMIC. It's been a problem this year. Even though we've launched the digital conference, AIRMIC Fest, in September, by no way is that going to repair the damage. Whilst it's mitigated, it's not going to repair the damage in any really meaningful way in a financial sense. What it has done, though, is allow us to maintain relationships, hopefully our relationship. And also, if you think about, you know, our mission, which is to, you know, build a successful risk capability in the market, actually, you could argue it's been an incredibly successful year. You know, the only impact is a few £100,000 off our balance sheet. In many, many ways, it's been a fabulous year for AIRMIC. I look forward to AIRMIC Fest. But actually, you know, all of our programs are all online, and we've introduced new formats like Friday reading and AIRMIC Live on a Monday, and the attendance. You know, this morning we had a special interest group for enterprise risk. We had 61 people online, you know, and that's not uncommon. Our meetings, our special interest groups have all taken off. So it's no mean boast, really. You know, we, in everything bar financial impact, AIRMIC is doing incredibly well. Long term, you know, we do need to think about the business model. Because obviously Manchester next year, physical conference, it's probably going to be a hybrid conference. You know, we're not going to put down the digital tools anytime soon. So it'll be digital and physical, hopefully. We've got to work out, you know, what we're going to be allowed to do next summer. But in any case, it'll be a hybrid of some description, I suspect. And whilst that may not be, you know, that might be costly next year as well, actually, in the long term, it's going to be even better, because there are huge advantages in having a sort of a hybrid, the hybrid model we've discovered. I think we'll have more people, more members, more CPD hours, more thought leadership going forwards. So it's actually, the future is really bright. There's just a thunderstorm or two to get through.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same for obviously most other businesses. It's how you react, how quickly you react, and how well you react. And the good news is you obviously have a groundswell of support. The takeoff of the subgroups, etc., shows that people want the information that you're providing. Yes. As you point out, it's how you package it to make sure you can continue doing it, because you need the finance, obviously.
Yeah, no, I'm really grateful to the members for supporting us. Also, our partners who saw what we were doing and realised actually it was the right thing to do, and they've come along with us and they've really got stuck in. And I commend actually a lot of the workshops, we're recording some of them for AIRMIC Fest, and the quality of those workshops is superb. And frankly, it's just stepped up a gear. So it's good.
Finally, AIRMIC Fest obviously is fast approaching. Very excited about it. Looks like you've got a fantastic program. Great support from a wide range of people. What are the big themes for this coming fest? And what are you hoping to achieve for the members from the event?
The biggest one is working together. That was always planned to be the theme of the conference, actually. But I put a bit of a strap line on the bottom of it now, and it's in a time of crisis and accelerated change. Because the one thing you get in a crisis is this accelerated change and tremendous innovation. So let's not forget that. Let's go to conference looking to work together, recognizing that we need to, these trends that are going on are accelerating. So therefore, we need to embrace innovation, discover it, work together with other people, and put our businesses in a competitive advantage. We believe COVID has shown the benefit also of managing risk from an enterprise-wide perspective, because it is, you know, clearly a cross-functional risk, and you need joined-up solutions and de-siloed companies. You need new behaviours, and risk can lead the way in that. I also think it's not just within a company. You need sort of intra-companies, inter-company collaboration. Actually, a new way of working that came out of the IT industry is a thing called co-creation. Very much everybody taking a problem and working together, several companies working together to come up with a solution which they equally share. So I want to showcase that at the conference, because we need new solutions for our new world. We're not going to do that by working on our own. We also need to then rethink how we work in the market to achieve better client focus. And I think co-creation is a great way of doing that. Again, that takes quite a change in behaviour in the market. We've also got a myriad of the usual workshops looking at hot topics for today and tomorrow. And I've already spoken about the quality of those this year. And by the way, normally when you turn up to conference, you get to see two or three workshops, don't you? Yeah, because they're all going to be recorded, kept up online, I think 3 to 6 months. Then you can go back and just fill your boots with CPD points this year. Keep going back and learning some more. So I think actually we're going to give everybody wonderful value for money, which is a good thing to do.
So the only thing that's really missing is the hangover.
No, I wouldn't know about that.
No, of course not. Yeah,
actually, the younger members, you know, that's one feature actually of the industry they really don't like. And we're getting feedback that that culture's got to change too for the next generation. Yeah, so I think that's important to bear in mind. So I don't think, you know, we're not, the youngsters aren't going to miss that. Anyway, so there's also lots of thought leadership as well, with sessions on technology, life skills, and the better use of insurance captives. And what I would say about that is actually, I think AIRMIC is putting a lot of effort into actually worrying about the health of our members, particularly from a mental health side. But increasingly, you know, especially working at home, actually, if you're not careful, you sort of log on at 7:30 in the morning and log off, you know, late at night, forgotten to go for a walk, you know, you're not getting your commuting walk, you're not getting your walk at lunchtime or whatever. So we're trying to encourage people to get exercise in, look after their mental health. And I think we're also getting into personal development. We launched the mentoring this year, and that's been a tremendous success too. So it's a growing part of AIRMIC is actually the development of our people and looking after of our people in the profession.
Absolutely critical role. And
I think it is. I think it is. And then lastly, I think new for this year at the conference, I would just mention that we're, you know, because it's online and social media is the way it is, we have the big conversation. And the big conversation, you know, they'll be going on online on the platform, the AIRMIC Fest platform.
Yeah.
Sort of topics will be the harsh market, obviously, and what's that feel like, and, you know, what do you do about it? Mega trends that are going on that are going to accelerate, so we need to learn about them. And, of course, COVID. You know, if there's still things we need to think about there, maybe your offices are reopening or whatever it is, that'll all be sort of shared. And that's for everybody. That's for partners and members and anybody attending the conference can get stuck into those conversations. And I think that's the nearest thing we can get to the networking that otherwise we would miss out on.
Yeah.
But as you say, maybe this year it's more cerebral and less gin-fueled.
Yeah, which has its advantages, of course.
Oh, I think so.
Okay, John, well, thank you very much. It's been great to talk to you as ever. Really appreciate your time. And best of luck. Best of luck next in 3 weeks' time.
Great. It's coming up then, 22nd to 24th September. Thank you, Adrian.